This is our regular scheduled assembly meeting for Tuesday, January 24th. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
I will, Mr. Mayor. Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Steve Culligan.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
I'm expecting Barbara Doty, Randall Kowalki.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Approval of the agenda. Any items want to be pulled from the consent agenda? Seeing none, consent agenda is set as is set. Any other changes to the agenda? Seeing none, agenda is approved as presented. There's been no amendments. Pledge of the allegiance. Let's see. Mark Van Dungen, would you give us the honor of leading us?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's take a look at the minutes. Any changes to the regular?
Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk, go ahead, please.
Mr. Mayor and the members of the Assembly, it was brought to our attention one of the amendments to the Capital Improvement Program was left out of the minutes. It was Assemblymember Sykes' amendment under Community Transportation to add Lake Louise Road and some verbiage for Lake Louise Road. If I can get your permission to add those to the minutes.
It's too late now. No, go ahead. Any objection to the Madam Clerk's amendment to the minutes as read? It'll make Mr. Sykes happy. Okay, seeing none, that would be approved. Any other changes to the regular meeting minutes of January 10th? Any objection to the minutes being presented? Seeing none, minutes are approved as presented. Reports from the cities. Mayor Cottle is here.
Mayor Halter, Assembly members. Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla. I have just a few announcements tonight. First is this Saturday at the Menard Center is a Rocky Mountain Elks Foundation banquet. There's still tickets. You can go online and call 350-3901. Tuesday, February 7th at the Menard Center is Tuesday Night Fights. And then on February 11th is a Centennial Fat Tire Bike Ride. And that will start at the Menard Center, go up Mack Clap, go over to KGB, down KGB, over to Lake Lucille Park, across the lake, back over to the Parks Highway and back out there. That's a 10-mile circle. And then coming up on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of February is Alaska 4A State High School Hockey Championships. We're expecting 3,000 plus a day go through the building for them 3 days. And then on the 17th is the Boomtown Derby Dames Roller Derby, and that's at the Menard Center also, and that's on February 17th. And probably the biggest news for some, and I wish Dr. Doty was here, but starting on February 1st, Monday through Friday, between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning, anybody who's 50 and older, here she is, as a senior can walk on the track out at the Menard Center for free. We found 5 sponsorships, and Dr. Doty being one of them, to fund that. So 5 days a week, 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, you can walk inside on the track for free if you're 50 and above. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Assemblymember Doty arrived at 6:03, 3 full minutes late. Okay. Welcome. Okay, City of Palmer, anybody here? Doesn't look like it, but I want to thank Mayor Edwin DeVries and Mr. Wallace, the manager, for hosting our mayor's meeting last week at their location. It was enjoyable. I thought we had a very good meeting. So, City of Houston, I don't see anybody here. The school board, our school district, looks like they're absent. How about the school board committee on school issues? Mr. Beck?
There was no meeting, thank you. Sorry, I'm just reveling in the idea that I'm under 50 still.
How close are you to 50?
A little ways, huh?
Well, I think it's a great idea. Okay, any other public relation reports from assembly members or staff? Seeing none, Mr. Moosey, why don't we move to you and your reports?
Yes, good evening. Mr. Harris headed down to Juneau a week ago. They're already in session. We're keeping an eye here also locally on what is happening and some bills, especially that affect us, but also to what they're going to do with that that finance issue that they have. Just a couple events kind of going forward. Second week of February, we'll be traveling to Astoria. Astoria is to see their sawmill operation. They have bought a timber sale from the state of Alaska and are looking at negotiating with the current user agreement for our CHGIC. So there is some timber opportunities, and we're going to go down and check out that business. Also, too, the third week of February, we are planning to head down to Juneau. We are trying to make arrangements with the governor's office to get a sit-down meeting with him. And then myself and the attorney have been discussions with our federal lobbyist about a potential D.C. trip the first week of April. That is not secure yet, but we're looking at the best time we have an impact. And we do have some issues with the new administration, and I think some new opportunities, especially in the transit area. Also, too, as promised, we're going to be kind of picking apart some budget history as we get ready to do the 2018 budget. You'll find at your table and in the back, and should be, if not yet, on the website, our area-wide mill rate back to 1961. It kind of looks like our aesthetic view from the Mat Valley with all the peaks and valleys. And then also, too, we did a full spreadsheet going back to fiscal year 2000 on all our fire service area, road service area, non-area-wide. And those are just the percent or the mill rate that we have charged our taxpayers. So we'll be continually be putting this stuff out for you and for the public so we can really have full information and make the best decision we can for this next budget challenge. So tonight we have a special guest from the McDowell Group, Mr. Jim Calvin. We've done a freight study. This was asked for and encouraged by a Port Commission. We have a member of our Port Commission tonight, Mr. Gates, who I think was very interested and was kind of like the foot on the gas on this project. But we're very pleased with the effort. I know the McDowell Group, after we reviewed it, interviewed more people. They've worked at the Port Commission. Stuff was brought here to you, trying to make it really the best information for us long term. And also, too, as I reported in the past, we applied for a fast lane grant, $75 million for rail funding. This study was an integral part of that grant application. So it's just not a report that's sitting on the shelf, but we're already using it to kind of leverage some federal dollars. And we think it really added the value to our fast lane grant application. So to present the study is Mr. Jim Calvin. He has a short presentation. We've given him 10 minutes, although he said he wanted 2 hours and 10 minutes. So,
thank you very much for setting aside a few minutes to talk with us about our rail freight market analysis. We appreciate you got a busy agenda. Let's see if our technology is going to work here. That looks good. Okay, well, my name is Jim Calvin. I'm a principal with McDowell Group. I work out of our Juneau office. By way of introduction, McDowell Group has been in business since 1972, providing economic and market research, business feasibility studies, cost-benefit studies. We have 17 professionals in offices in Anchorage, Juneau, and Lower 48 locations. Our client base includes businesses in the mining industry, oil and gas, seafood, tourism, transportation. So we felt like with the connections that work brings us, that we were really well positioned to help you with this really interesting and important study. So what was our challenge? What was our charge here? Our job was to measure as best we could, estimate as best we could, the type and tonnage of freight that might move through a fully developed Port McKenzie rail extension. This includes mineral concentrates and other mining supplies, coal, forest products, oil and gas, refined products, and construction materials and general freight, anything that might move on rail. Our sort of fundamental charge, though, is to look for those sources of freight that generate large tonnages requiring shipment over long distances. That's the fundamental economics of rail is, you know, large volumes, long distances, and that's when rail is most efficient compared to trucking or any other form of transportation. So we were focused really on those industries that have that kind of transportation need, and mining clearly is one of those. But let's back up and talk about kind of why this is happening, and why Port McKenzie remains as an interesting infrastructure development prospect, and the rail extension in particular. Port McKenzie is best located to serve interior Alaska's marine terminal needs, bulk commodities transportation needs. It's a sewer has played that role in the past for coal, but Port Mac has some substantial advantages relative to any other port in South Central. There's plenty of uplands to develop. It's got a 1,200 feet deep draft port, and it's the deepest draft port in Alaska. And it's really got just sort of unencumbered access to the interior. So that's sort of the fundamentals of why this is happening, why the port was developed in the first place. No news there for you. We also know that the development of interior Alaska's resources will be dependent on the very, very efficient movement of materials out of out of the interior to tidewater, to overseas markets. We have huge distances to contend with, and absolutely efficient movement of materials is critical to development of these resources. So as I noted, we spent a lot of time thinking about what prospects there are in the mining industry, and a lot of prospects across interior Alaska. The area that's receiving the most attention at the moment and is the most advanced is in the Ambler District. This is about 700 miles from Port Mac, but Port Mac is noted in planning documents. Trilogy is the company that now has control over that. Was Nova Copper and then was Nova Gold, but they are the company that is looking to develop the prospect. But clearly, transportation is critical to the economics. It's 700 miles from tidewater. Trucking to Port Mac is included in their preliminary economic analysis. Clearly, rail would enhance that substantially. The challenges to the development of that project include they need a 200-mile road from the Dalton Highway west to the mine site itself. That's currently in an EIS or about to enter an EIS process. The prospect is part of a very richly mineralized area, the Ambler District. If it were located closer to tidewater, in southeast Alaska, for example, it would have been developed many years ago. Very, very richly mineralized area, but great distances from tidewater are a critical aspect of the economics of that. And where we see now is it's probably 10 years out before we could expect to see actually any concentrates moving from the Ambler District to Port Mac because of the permitting processes, road construction requirement, mine development, and all of which takes years. Mine development by its nature takes a long time. So the soonest we would expect to see any concentrate movement would be at the 10 years out. A number of other prospects in interior Alaska that are interesting: Shorty Creek, Caribou Dome, Red Mountain. These are all early phase exploration projects. They're all base metal projects, which means that they will require shipment of a concentrate to tidewater for shipment to overseas smelters. So efficient access is an essential part of mine economics. Shorty Creek and Caribou Dome are both copper mines. The Red Mountain is a zinc lead prospect with some precious metal values. Those are beyond that 10-year window that we see for the Ambler District development, 10 years, 15 years. So again, this is a kind of a long horizon play as we think about mine development. Some fundamental economic challenges face all of these projects in terms of global commodity prices. So we need to see some improvement, steady improvement in prices, sustained prices for any of these projects to move too far towards development. And a lot of that is really dependent on the Chinese economy. So things that happen here and in Alaska are tightly connected with the condition of the Chinese economy. Again, all of these would require efficient access to tidewater, and Port Mac is the logical choice for that. A lot of other mining activity going on in interior Alaska. Much of it is focused on precious metals. These are precious metal mines are different than base metals in that they're not producing a concentrate that requires, you know, large volumes of concentrates that require shipment to overseas smelters. They're producing a gold bar. But they do have important inbound infrastructure, inbound transportation needs, fuel and chemical reagents and drill steel and equipment. So, you know, while it's been proven that precious metal mine development is economically viable in interior Alaska with the Fort Knox mine and with Pogo mine, enhancement of the transportation infrastructure into interior Alaska also facilitates the development of additional mining opportunities. The Livingood project is the one that's most advanced in terms of its exploration and economic analysis. It too requires a break even is about $1,200 an ounce gold, so it too requires some increase in prices. Also considered coal. Coal is the one. At the moment, we're not exporting anything. The price for is back, and at the moment, the export facility in Seward is rebounded a bit. The benchmark coal price is up over $100. A Seward facility is capable of handling 2 million tons a year of coals, and it's quite likely that will as prices improve. High tonnages will continue to go through Seward until they get to that 2 million ton range. Also considered oil and gas industry, the most interesting sort of rail transportation prospect there is the moving LNG and ISO containers to Fairbanks here. I'm sure you're all aware of some test runs that the railroad did carrying those ISO containers. They're permitted in 2018 to carry 60 containers every 4 days, so potentially a big volume of LNG could move north via rail. Challenges, they need to expand the production capacity of LNG here, and also need to develop storage capacity and infrastructure distribution capacity in Fairbanks before we expect to see those kinds of volumes. Clearly the gas line construction would push tremendous amounts of freight through really all of South Central Alaska ports. Rail connection to Port Mac would make Port Mac a more attractive place to move those kinds of materials going forward. One of the really most interesting prospects looking in somewhat distant future is the Alberta to Alaska rail project. You may be familiar with that, but this is a very, very ambitious effort to move bitumen from, which is basically an asphalt-like material, from Alberta to Tidewater, and the developers of that project have pointed to Port Mac, designated Port Mac as its marine terminal. This is, as I said, a very ambitious. They would be moving, according to their plans, a million barrels a day of bitumen along this rail, which is more than the amount of oil that now moves through the pipeline. So huge, huge volumes of material are proposed in this project, and that would sort of have very fundamental impacts on the economics of the rail extension and Port Mac itself. Some of the other things that we looked at as we consider where there might be some volume of freight to move over the rail extension and through Port Mac, clearly forest products, as we've just learned, there's some interest in further development of the Burroughs resources. The interior of Alaska in general has vast forest resources, and it's within the realm of reason to see 100,000 to as much as 300,000 tons of forest products, chips mainly, but also saw timber that could be moved by rail as Pacific Rim markets improve. Nothing near term on the horizon that we could see, but again, a long-term play. Construction materials are another, you know, sort of a low-value product that needs to be moved really efficiently. And in fact, gravel is the single largest source of freight volume for the railroad today at about 2 million tons a year, moved primarily from Palmer into Anchorage. There's no developed export market yet for gravel or construction materials in general, but we watch Pacific Rim conditions pretty carefully to see how that might change, or just moving construction materials through Port Mac to Western Alaska, wherever the need may be. Over time, as accessible deposits are depleted, there'll be more pressure to find cost-effective sources and in volumes that are economically efficient to move by rail. Limestone, also there's a giant deposit called Globe Creek up out of Fairbanks that got some tough economics. We don't see any significant development there for a number of years, but again, as you think long term, there's some possibility there. There's a fair amount of lime consumed in the state. The mines consume some, but at the moment, the economics of developing that resource are challenging for sure. Let me talk for a minute just about the big picture, the freight picture for South Central Alaska. Each year, about 2.3, 2.4 million tons of freight come into South Central. About 1.8 million tons of that are in containers, and the lion's share of that are on the container ships that tie up at the Port of Anchorage. Barges that call on private facilities in Anchorage carry it. Much of the other volume of container traffic, some container traffic goes through Whittier as well. And then there's a variety of 400,000 to 500,000 tons of bulk or break bulk that goes into Valdez. The Pogo mine is supplied largely through Valdez. And this is a lot of that is on rail barge through Whittier. And again, a lot of that is mining or North Slope related. And the barge operators who are now operating, that would be Alaska Marine Lines and North Star, that have their private operators adjacent to the Port of Anchorage. A lot of their work is North Slope related, oil field equipment and the like. The things are trending down in the freight market in general. The volume of container traffic into Alaska has declined pretty sharply from through the Port of Anchorage is down to about 1.4 million tons. It's been trending down pretty steadily over the last several years. Similarly, the volume of break bulk or bulk that is largely feeding North Slope operations has been trending down. No secret, Alaska's economy is in recession. We lost about 7,000 jobs last year. Expect to lose a similar number this year. All of that has put downward pressure on the volume of freight that's moving into Alaska. Similarly, rail freight has been declining pretty steadily over the last 5 years as a result of Flint Hills refinery closing down. That was an important source of business for Alaska Railroad, as is the decline in coal for export markets. So those two things together have pushed the volume of material carried on the railroad down pretty sharply over the last few years. So just to summarize, so what's the big picture? Well, the fundamentals of Port McKenzie haven't changed. It still is the best suited to meet long-term bulk commodity needs for interior Alaska. If we can get to a point where mine development is feasible in interior Alaska, whether it's Ambler or outside of Fairbanks, Port Mac is the best position to play that, to serve in that capacity. Nevertheless, the soonest we would expect to see any of those bulk concentrates from mining development really is 10 years out and perhaps beyond. So it continues to be kind of a long-term play as we think about how Port Mac and the rail extension might facilitate development of these resources. And further, all of this is happening at a time when the economic environment in Alaska is pretty difficult. So it's a challenging time right now to think about resource development and economic development in general in Alaska. Nevertheless, we do think that this report really serves as a great sort of reference document for what all of your opportunities are. And it provides a really useful baseline for you to sort of track, as global commodity markets conditions change, you can revisit this document and see how that might affect the timing and scale of development in the interior. So with that, I'll say thank you and encourage all of you, after you've had a chance, there's 60 pages of very detailed information here about what I've just covered here in about 10 minutes. If you have questions of us, don't hesitate to reach out to McDowell Group. We're always happy to talk about the work we do. So thank you very much for the opportunity to work with you on this. Thanks to Patty Solon for her guidance through the project and for the Port Commission. We appreciate working with the borough very much.
Okay, thank you. Assemblyman Sykes, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Mr. Calvin, for your presentation. I Haven't had a chance to look at the details yet, but I look forward to it. And I'd also like to thank Commissioner Gates for making this helping us go forward. My question is in the development of your report, did you have contact with all of the companies involved with these potential prospects in assessing what their interests were? And as a second part of that question, if you did, were any of them interested in participating in the rail project to help move the rail project on a little faster if they have a potential economic interest?
Yes, we talked with virtually all of the, in the mining industry and elsewhere, all of the people that have some interest in various deposits in interior Alaska, talked with them at length about the status of their projects, the schedule for development, what some of their challenges are as they think about development. The project, the developers that have the most interest in Port Mac is Trilogy and the Ambler District folks. They have the Arctic deposit, which, as I noted, is very rich, and they also control the Bornite deposit, which is nearby to the Arctic. And those are the folks that have already noted at Port Mac as their destination to their marine terminal to get their concentrates to Tidewater and also serve as an inbound terminal for the 20 or 30 or 40,000 tons of materials required to operate a mine like that.
But did you get around to discussing whether or not they would actually like to put up some cash to help the rail get built better?
Well, I think that they're still working, and they have some other fundamental challenges first, like price of copper and getting access to their projects. I think the Ambler District is the most interesting in that regard, because I do think it would require a sort of a cooperative effort between Trilogy, the developer, ADA, who is looking at developing a DeLong Mountain transportation system like corridor where the mining companies would pay a toll to use the road. That's a real critical piece of infrastructure, as well as Port Mac and the rail extension are all part of this effort to identify the most cost-effective way to move concentrates to Tidewater. So I'm sure they're not quite prepared to talk about actually investing in Port Rail. They've got they're still proving their deposits, they're doing their feasibility studies, and maybe probably a few years away from thinking about how they might support an effort like that. If I might just take one, I went past what I thought are some interesting, these containers, this is a sealed container. This is how concentrates can be moved very efficiently in an intermodal basis. They're sealed. In the old days, concentrates were shipped kind of in bulk, and there was always concerns about dust and water quality issues around the terminal where they're loaded onto ships. But so these are what mines across the world are turning to these days, very environmentally sensitive kind of a storage and transportation device. They're very easily handled from truck to train to ship. And this is a picture of a freighter that's carrying actually several hundred of these containers. So that's where the world's moving, in case folks have an interest in just how would concentrates be handled. What would it look like if they were to come through Port Mac? What would likely be in these kind of containers?
Hey, Senator Doty?
Just for further clarification on the containers, should there be, an accident on the marine highway, et cetera, how secure are those containers? Looks like they would probably tolerate quite a bit of impact.
Well, they build them stout for sure, and they're secured firmly to the, to a truck. The concept out of the Ambler District would be truck from the mine to the Dalton Highway down to Fairbanks, placed on a rail, flat car, two or three to a car, transported here, offloaded, then onto a ship. Again, they're designed to be handled really efficiently in that regard. And as sort of self-contained, sealed containers, they're pretty durable and can handle a lot of rough handling. And I think compared to how concentrates are typically handled, which might be a dump truck with a canvas top over it, which is how it's handled in some parts of the world, these are much more modern, much safer, much more environmentally friendly way to move concentrates.
Okay. Okay, looks like it. Well, thank you very much for a great report.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Lucy,
I do have one last thing. After a lot of hard work by a lot of people, we have set the leachate and septic program out for request for proposal this week. So we are marching in that direction to take care of our own stuff.
Okay. All right. Now that's funny.
Sorry, you need an outburst.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moosey. Mr. Spraplis, you got a report for us, please?
Earlier this afternoon, we received an order from the court dismissing the cases against the borough related to the marijuana petition. Remember, shortly before the election, we got sued alleging all types of nefarious acts by the borough trying to stop the election. It was stayed until after the election, and then the court basically said, I think this needs to be dismissed. There's nothing left to fight about. So we briefed that, and the court issued the order today dismissing the case. So the next steps are we'll move for final judgment and then move for attorney's fees.
How much are we going to ask, attorney fees?
I haven't started working on it yet. I can give you a report next time.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk?
The clerk's report is in your red folders, and if you haven't noticed, we have Ms. Kilbourn sitting up here with us, and that's because we've started practicing with our new agenda management system called Granicus. So right now we're creating the packets in Granicus plus the regular way we've been creating packets just so we can practice and we make sure we get the information out to the public and out to the assembly members. So I'm hoping by the second meeting in February or the first meeting in March we'll go live, meaning that we'll be video streaming the meeting online and hopefully have you guys up and voting on Granicus. And we might not have the voting component up and going, but at least we'll have everything created in Granicus and video streaming, but maybe not the voting component. We're gonna try to get there by then.
Okay, we're moving ahead. Okay, we have citizen and other correspondence. Any comments on the citizen or other correspondence? Hearing none, it is presented. Madam Clerk, we have a information memorandum you can read, please.
IM 17014, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 15150P to Howdy Incorporated for the Frontiers Charter School Design Build Project for the final contract amount of $7,487,742.88.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from some members on the IM? Here none, it is presented. There are no persons to be heard at this time. We're going to go right to the public hearings. Hearings, we'll have a written sign-up sheet, plus we'll take you from the audience. So, Madam Clerk, Ordinance Serial Number 16006 and Resolution 17007.
Ordinance Serial Number 17006, an ordinance approving the acceptance and appropriation of fiscal year 2017 Community Revenue Sharing Program funds in the amount of $270,900 to Fund 475, Project Number 47033, with accompanying Resolution 17007, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for fiscal year 2017 Community Revenue Sharing Program, Project Number 47033.
Thank you. We'll open the public hearings and we have a sign up, Mr. Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I live in the Madison Valley. I represent myself. I follow the public process. Public process done appropriately, the decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. My comments are on this ordinance for public hearing in reference to funds to the community councils. Now, I want to make it clear, obviously you should know, I community council concept is great. I wholeheartedly encourage the improvement of that. But over the years, almost every community council I've attended, some I haven't, and it should be put on the record again. Some of those community councils I can't attend because they schedule their meetings at the same time as the borough assembly meeting, planning commission meeting. Among the community councils I was not able to attend over the course of not months, years, is one is Talkeetna Community Council. Another one is the Willow Group. Not that I don't care, but I need to be here. But let's put it this way. They need to be here But if they're holding their meetings at the same time, great concept. I wholeheartedly agree funding for these bodies. But the setup is that they get funds, but their scheduling doesn't permit them to come before you, some of them. Also, there's a newly organizing one coming back on Farmers Loop. Okay, and I caught something that was astonishing, and that is this. It was on the borough website, calendar, schedule a meeting. Teleconferencing in, call that number. Where was the meeting location? We've gone to the extent of community councils, and this is on community councils. But there was a way to engage with that community council is you had to call in. That's absolutely wrong. So things have got to change and get on back on the right approach. And I hope you start paying attention, not just pay attention, but correct the situation because it's gone on too long. And there's the clock. You change the size of the clock. I like that big clock. Okay, 35 seconds. I'll leave it at that. Oh, just on the clock, okay? I like that big clock, so it's easy for me to find. What? This is it? Oh, no, that's going the wrong way. No, it's going the wrong way. It needs to be that big clock. Catch it.
Okay, that's all we have in the sign-up sheet. Anybody else wish to speak to the ordinance 17006 or the resolution 17007? I have a feeling all the community councils within the Mat-Su borough are very happy about this ordinance because it's passed through state money going, being administered by the borough for their benefit, and they will use the money as their wishes. Anybody want to speak on it? Seeing none, I'll close public hearing at this time. Assemblyman Beck, would you please move this for us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance 17-006 and resolution 17-007.
Assembly members, any discussion? Any questions? I see none. Any objection to passage of this ordinance and resolution? Seeing none, hearing no objection, the legislation passes. Madam Clerk, ordinance serial number 17007, please.
An ordinance amending MSB 2.12 Assembly and MSB 2.08 Mayor to change Assembly and mayoral terms from 3 to 4 years, excuse me, without affecting the current members' terms.
Okay. So we got to move from 3 years to 4 years, and the mayor is going to go from 3 to 1. Is it? No. Okay. We have a sign-up. We have a sign-up sheet here. Mr. Haberman is first.
I'm losing part of the audience. Semi-member just left.
Go ahead. Your time is starting. Please.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process is an appropriate decision made by the governing body. It's more like in the public interest. And note again, I live in the Madison Valley. My comments are on this proposed ordinance and changing the terms of length and adding another year. Now, in all due respect, something like this to go to the people to vote on in an election. Not for you to just say, okay, we're going to have a new ordinance and change the length of terms. Now, there was some note to cost savings, but what's not noted here is there's another part of the regular election, and that is there's school candidates. You don't reference school candidates in this thing. So what savings are you really going to make if the election has to take place anyway, because there's going to be people going to have to vote for school candidates. The terms are, look at those terms. You change one and then you change the other. And if you're going to do that, maybe you should talk to the school board about that before you jump on that bandwagon and change things around. And then voter turnout. There's no question that it's been very disappointing to fewer and fewer people are voting in these elections. Is this going to help it? I doubt it. But when you have a combined package of school candidates and borough assembly candidates and mayor, you're more likely going to have more people vote. But putting them off and adding extended term, but with all due respect, I'm totally against any idea for you to extend a term, and you should go for the people to decide if this is the way to go, and not you to do it. And 1 minute and 1 second, wow. Learn, you've got to warn people about that clock, where it is. But guess that's it, except that my whole work coming back in the picture was because of elections. And this does not make me any happier of how you're handling the business of running elections and how it's going to be and what's going to be before the people and not. Thank you very much. 27 seconds left.
Okay, thank you very much. Just for the record, Assemblymember McKee stepped out of the meeting at 6:39 p.m. Okay, that's all we have up in the sign-up list for the ordinance on changing the terms for the Assembly members and mayors. Anybody in the audience wish to address that issue? If you'd like to, now is the time. Okay, we come on forward. Thank you. State your name for the record. And Assemblymember McKee is back with us.
My name is John Vendusky. Okay. I shouldn't be up here again. I don't want to get in the habit of coming up every weekend or every 2 weeks, but that I agree with Mr. Haberman. That should, something that important, I think, should be up to the voters. Politicians of any sort, of any level, should never make the decisions on how to benefit themselves, period. It just really looks bad. And, I'm a firm advocate in term limits. If you even did have something like this, the term should be one. If you put it to 4 years, is what it should be. If you're going to extend it to, I don't think you should do it, but if you do extend it to 4 years, it should be just one term. I like it on every level, all the way up to the top. There should be term limits on congressmen and everything. And that's why we get bad policies. I'm not accusing any of you of doing that, but the longer a politician stays in office, the more chance there is of corruption starting to happen. And this is a prime example. It should stay the same, or if you're going to do it, put it out to the people and let them decide. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the comments. Anybody else wish to address this issue? It is kind of an issue. Juneau down there, our delegations, they don't have term limits. I don't think Washington, D.C. has term limits for the Congress, House of Representatives, or Senate, but we do. So whether it should be 4, 3, 2, 1 term, I think is a... So anybody else in the audience wish to speak? Come on, Ms. Munoz. There's a go.
Okay. 42 years.
Go ahead and just state your name for the record and take a swing at this one.
Helen Munoz, I've been a resident for 45 years in the borough. And I do believe in term limits, but it's hard to, I think, two terms, even for our borough mayor. But term limits should be, I've lived a long time. I'll be 86 this year, and I've seen a lot in my lifetime. And I've been working for nothing in this borough a long time for the next generation. Clean water, good education, personal finance, because the kids aren't, so these are things that really bother me. And I'm not too quiet about it. But there's a lot coming after me. I'm at the end of the line. So this is a young country. I've lived almost one third of the length of time we're a nation. That ought to scare you to death. Because who are the young kids on the block? And we're all immigrants. The only ones that were here were the Indians. And I don't like to see what's happening today in a lot of elements, in a lot of places, and it's a shame. I'll be back and persons to be heard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address this issue? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing at this time and turn this over to Assemblymember Kowalki, please.
go ahead and read it into, move it for us, please.
Yes, I'd like to move to adopt ordinance 17-007 and to speak to it, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the motivation behind this was efficiency, and I think probably I discovered that I had significant impact from borough size. I began to get a grip for that as a candidate, and after a year, a little over a year as the assemblyman, I'm really have a feel for it. Of the 25,000 plus square miles that make up our borough, I have 18,500 of those square miles. And I ran a year before I was elected to become familiar with the borough to, or with my district particularly, to attend meetings within the district, get my arms around it. After a year and a few months, I feel like I've reached that goal. So that was one motivation. Had I just been elected and spent 2 years getting ready, then if I decided to run again, which I may or may not do, I would have been running the third year. So I took a look at that. The other item that popped up on my radar screen is when we were being castigated by a large crowd for our stupidity in dealing with the ferry. I was looking up and down the line, and there wasn't a soul here who had anything to do with the ferry except to sell the ferry. So, also in reference to Ms. Helen, who I have a great deal of respect and admiration for, a three-year term in moving a sewer project forward isn't going to gain much traction. We're a revolving door here. I keep hearing about how we are the size of West Virginia. We are the size of West Virginia. And West Virginia has a legislature. They have senators that don't serve three-year terms. They have representatives. And the thing that was most important to me is that those folks actually have staffs to assist them in governing West Virginia. So anyway, I hadn't talked to any other assemblyman up until Assemblyman Culligan talked to me about another item, and we discussed my my resolution. I put this out here to float it. The borough attorney told me we had the option for 3 or 4 year terms. It's a one item change, and I decided to float it. If there's support among the assembly to do this, then great. If no one else but me has any interest in it, so be it. But I wanted to see us have a chance to discuss this. I think it's a move to efficiency, and that's why I brought it forward, and I would hope I can gain support for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kwaki. Other assembly members? Assemblymember Sykes, and we'll go to Assemblymember McKee. Assemblymember Culligan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Assemblymember Kwaki, for bringing this forward. I think you've put a lot of thought into this, and just for a little clarification, nobody sitting here could take advantage of the change if we were to change it. It doesn't affect anybody here. So we presently have 2 3-year terms as a limit. And that would, when it takes effect on offices who get elected in the future, they would still have 2 4-year terms. But an election, at least an advisory vote, or if it's not required, of a couple of boards or committees, and I think we even have one that doesn't have a limit on it, but best that you have when you first get elected and the ability to get through legislation. Term limits, I totally believe in them, and I'm satisfied with good purpose. But I can also see that experience, if you get robbed, you probably could get elected to a third-year term without a lot of terms, which would be a total of 9 years. And elections, because we still are going to have an election every year, regardless of what change. Public discussion, more public input, and I'm reluctant to go forward with it at this point tonight. And any of the other boroughs or local governments within the state to see. If,
okay. And, thank you, Senator McKee. 2 threes, 3 threes, or 2
But
you're done.
But I'm going to speak against this. The thing, the public gets a general idea that you have some nefarious intent in doing it. Since I didn't want to run for this office, I did because nobody else would, okay? I'd probably leave town. You're getting fortunately, okay? If they did, I might take it, okay? We want to put it up for a vote of the people. Let the people vote on it. Why not, okay?
Okay. Let's see, we're going to, Senator Culligan, and then Mr.
Better chime in since my name was brought up as talking to Mr. Kowalki and Mr. Sykes, that my soap opera script has been written and I'm scheduled, kind of meaningless to me in the White House. But Mr. Sykes, I just want to let you know in all good care. The reality is I do have to, I think this needs to go to a vote of the people, number one, if it happens. My first year in the Assembly, even with skills and even though I didn't, I'll just mention names and names. Mr. Culver in specific, who had very, very skilled. And while I felt like it was fair what we were going to do, he was very skilled in the background in facility, et cetera. And I had to really appreciate the not again. But that first year was tough. And it doesn't matter who you are or what skill and the like. So I will agree with that portion, but I think we have a meeting and ultimately it probably should go to the people to decide, but it has to be of benefit. There's no, you know, somebody has the ability to develop, it takes a while to develop the skills and because they have skilled staff that, and like here it's up to us. I refuse to go to work here at the boroughs to administer and work on this board, but I'll just leave it at that in the future.
Okay, thank you, Senator Kowalki.
Mr. Haberman's cost savings, I don't know where they came from. I used the term a fit assembly person could do in a better way and more effectively. Direct economic and dollar and cents benefit from our options were, and we could ask for a vote, we could do this, we could. For those of you who haven't heard me, remind you that I am mandate. Because the public was so concerned during the election that I ran. So in replaying that tape, and of course I think it improved during the last election, again, I have not had a comment from a single constituent regarding this issue, stating what I was proposing, and we've had Mr. Haberman testify tonight. Board, any other thing my esteemed colleagues decide to do with it, but I was-
A lot of courage, Assemblymember Doty.
I like the word courage, that this is something that requires a fair amount of public input and discussion, and perhaps 6 to 13% is what we're getting for voting on positions better. And I don't think that's going to stimulate more public involvement, because you're going to have more difficulty getting on any kind of large board or decision-making body, and I don't mind having it turn over at 3.
Appreciated the conversation, and thank you, Assemblymember Kowalki, for bringing this forward. And.
Well, does anybody want to make a motion to refer to the back? Why don't we just vote on it, Senator Beck? Let's just vote on it.
Okay, I'll call for the question instead.
Hold on a second.
I can't do this correctly.
To continue indefinitely. I see none. Now.
Okay, then.
Ordinance passing.
Any objection to calling for the question?
Any objection to this passing? There's quite a few objections. Looks like 7. Senator Culligan.
Is it an appropriate time to just add this to a list of our...
Advise us next meeting, joint meeting with the school board?
Next joint meeting with the school board is March 7th.
Okay. So, Mr. Sproplis.
Regarding the borough assembly says, the member of the governing not exceeding 4 years is prescribed by charter or ordinance. So you have office of a member of a borough school board is 3 years for the assembly to change the term of a school
board. So it'd be June, or it'd have to
change the Title 14 to give you the power to do it.
Gotcha. Senator Sykes?
We could suggest term limits. In other words, we have term limits.
That same statute regarding school board says nothing in this section prevents comparison. For the borough assembly, the total number of terms or number of consecutive terms a voter may serve on the governing body, the assembly. And
so the school board,
it's perhaps a debatable question as to whether or not you could put it to the voters.
So your answer is you don't know.
The answer you can't.
Okay, let's cut this
Mr. Mayor?
Discussion. Thank you. Okay, so we're done with that. 3-minute break before the audience participation starts. So we'll go off record. We're back on record. So, Bliss, if you wish to speak, we'll add more time. So, Chris Gates, Helen Woody.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Chris Gates. I serve as your vice chairman, speaking for myself as an individual. Unfortunately, I've lived a long time, and I've been in different public and private jobs, but I was the first director of marketing development for Governor Hickel in one of his administrations. And I've done ports in the state of Alaska. I was an incorporator of an organization called Ports Alaska. Unfortunately, I've lived a long time. And the reason I'm talking that you received from Jim Calvin, he is one of the best state of Alaska good. As he said, it's a very good reference document. And objected to moving forward the port master plan of tonnage. What do experts say is the exact tonnage that's going to, Dr. Metz's study in 2007, for years and years and years, potential of a port. But what exactly do the experts say will be, what exactly revenue could we expect to earn at the port of Port McKenzie next 26? If you look at it, it's not very good. If you look at it, it would hurt economic development project for this borough. If you looked at that tonnage for others of rail improvements and port improvements, why are we? Especially after so little to the general fund, I think, has been considered by you in the past to cover for the end of stage one. To get a satellite into orbit, you have a booster phase. Mr. Van Dongen, your port director, is about to retire. Shoot. Play offense with your next port director. Don't build. Play, make tonnage happen. You can.
Helen Woodings.
I'm Helen Woodings, a 63 resident of Paul. Once a school teacher, always a school teacher. So I, Hasbro, who is sitting in row 4 in pink, who I have known since when my youngest daughter was here. I'm the mother of 3 children, Palmer High. Baby grandchild is 18 in school function for 63 years. And what I have you have put her name on the list to be considered for the
plan. She's made an application to be on the Planning Commission.
Okay.
I may or may not.
So I have known her as a chairman. I have hopes to retain her health. I think she has the secret to longevity and good health. The job she is applying for would not be 1 minute left. I told asking to time me. I wanted to get to her who reads. we do some. In 74, she's been in the school district 25 years, superintendent of school for 2 years. She can do any tasks that she of negotiations and how to.
Well, thank you, Ms. Woodings, and Ms. Treswell, you're very lucky to have such a good friend. Any subject you wish. So we're going to try a new subject.
My name is Helen Minos, and I want to thank. I talk a lot, but then I've kissed the Blarney Stone 3 times, but then I get a lot cured in this borough. There should be personal finance because the next generation is not. I thank everybody for putting up with me, and I think Mr. Beck. Were you? I knew it the year I came here.
No, I was born in 1970.
My age.
I heard alive, not born, sorry.
But
I'm on the borough assembly.
Oh, well. I know your borough is.
Committee.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, the committee? All right. Yeah. But anyway, I guess. But clean water and clean air are the basic of any of your cotton picking planet. And there's been more money, and there's a new planet that's met. And I can't get a sewer system built without standing here and talking. I'm a 9,000 population in this borough, which is the size of the state of West Virginia. I have very little respect for DEC and EPA. It might have been fine in 1915, but not for our primary sewer system for a long time, and I appreciate every. They have patience, the ones that have to put up with me. Okay? Thank you. Did I say that in less than 3 minutes?
You did. Philip Somerville? How did I?
I'm going to be very quick. So I will draw your attention to a manila folder I distributed for the organization I volunteer with. Please use them. I won't have time to say enough. Thing unusual, which is to sign a letter of support for our proposal will have huge impacts for the borough. My organization, the citizens, call it a carbon tax. National legislation, we call it carbon fee and dividend because fuels at the source, at the wellhead, at the mine, etc. All the money is raised we've had done that show various benefits, including decreased emissions, development of renewable energy and energy efficiencies, all of which create more jobs. So there's some major benefits. Why is climate change even an issue for the borough, Melbourne, based on rapid glacier melt? We see our fisheries being, this is not a future problem, it's a present day problem that's just becoming. So this proposal, I should mention, in the folder you'll see two versions of a letter. Second best would be a general letter stating, yes, it's a problem, we need to do this. Okay, benefits include diversification. Another threat, by the way, is our businesses that depend on snow recreation, but some sort of vague future national level problem. It's right here, it's right now, it affects us. I think it's practical. It's bipartisan. We have conservatives that sign on to it. It's free market. Households, even though the carbon tax would increase fuel costs a little. And I thought that would happen. I'm out of time. Please, thank you.
Thank you. I, for one, am very happy about the recent climate. I feel this, too. I was froze up. Eugene Haberman.
The Valley, follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body. The meeting you all had, well, there may have been some members that weren't present. The Valley delegation. It was held at the new Wasilla that day. But it was more colder than the fact. Now, remind you of the state law that says that all public meetings should provide a reasonable opportunity to the public with the Valley delegation. But you saw fit that the public didn't have a chance. Concern prior to that scenario, but you, and I raised a concern in another, this was absolutely wrong. I did note this, that you did have Houston Palmer to speak before the body. But maybe a few years back, that was with your joint meeting with the Borough Assembly and the, you saw fit that the mayors couldn't speak along with the, after the meeting, and she noticed she was concerned, but you managed, but you care less about the public. Now you're making a decision to conduct a policy of indifference, to connect and hear from the public, trust you in those decisions. I can't trust you before you make that decision. Thank you. With 25 seconds to spare.
Wish to speak at audience participation time? Seeing we haven't pulled anything from the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, go ahead and please read our resolution.
Number 45040, municipal entitlement lands to include trail surveys. AM said in the contract amount of $283,636 for south 1 foot by 3.5 foot and a 1 foot by 5.5 foot portion of South Lakeview within section 28, Township 17 North, Range 3 West, Seward Meridian.
The consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Thank you. Any objection? Please read the unfinished business legislation into the record.
AM 17, the amount of $475,000 for the Port McKenzie Rail Extension Project.
Okay, the main motion. Senator Colligan, go ahead.
Yes, I had asked some questions last time, and those questions about the portal and the public data availability and the like. And
Senator Culligan is satisfied with the way it is. Seeing and hearing none, legislation is approved. Motion to divide, appointment to the Central Mat-Su Fire Service Area Board of Directors, Brian Davis, the main motion. Senator Culligan.
Yes, you know, I was asked by some folks on the fire service are supportive, and I think we're ready to move forward on that as well. Thank you.
So no objection to Ms. Area Board of Directors? Seeing and hearing none, he's appointed. Questions?
Introduction for public hearing on February 7th, Ordinance 1701.
Beck, would you move the introduction?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, legislation is introduced. The vacancy is
as follows. Aviation Advisory Board, resignation of Chris Kepler, Board of Equalization. Marijuana Advisory Committee, Edna DeVries.
Comments and resignations? Hearing and seeing none, the vacancy, no reconsiderations. So we'll go to comments. Let's start with staff.
A little bit of discussion about marijuana setbacks and variances. Remember I mentioned to the assembly, and that's what you did tonight with AM 17009. Just for your
key.
If you're going to take a bribe, please don't announce it. Better yet, don't take a bribe.
Can you read?
Finish business, it's either that meeting or the meeting after is gravel tap. Discussions to be had on that. Please come see me in advance of the meeting so that we can be prepared. That's all.
Did I hear the McDowell of gravel? Was that correct, Mr. Moosey? Get that cleared up. Okay, Madam Clerk, then we'll go.
One thing I did forget to mention, the vote will turn up on the screen. However, if somebody does voting.
So will I show up in the main screen now?
It will show up as if there's no objection, it will.
Okay. Mr. Moosey?
Yes, I have two things. First, now it's going to be able to stream live, so you can hear the audio and actually see it on your inclusive of every resident, just not a few. And also, too, you may have heard about Nikiski wanting to be a city. I am not inclined to statement regarding another borough and their potential city.
Be careful. Somebody want to reply or comment on Nikiski's attempt to incorporate. See, none, I think we'll just thank him first. He won't say nothing.
Yeah.
Keith, comments?
Just a question. Where does anyone have...
Mr. Moosey?
Yes, the two outstanding insurance who is MV Susitna. That is complete. We are battling. We are now going over Mr. Murtaugh's head, trying to get notice that the damage port construction. We have received the document yesterday. We will be going over that with. There's a variety of things we may or may not do, but that discussion will be here at the assembly.
Okay. Everything okay, Senator McKee? Okay, thank you.
I really appreciate the discussion that, and we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it and invite the public into it. I have a couple of initiatives. We have an outgoing manager of emergency services, Bill Gamble, and it's changes, and I'd like to get that report before he leaves, because the next person will either continue or deal with the changes that have been made. And had a tough job when he came, and I still would like a status report, and I just wanted. Fish and Wildlife Commission has been meeting furiously, we are currently looking at some of the proposals, and the booklet is being revised. There was a meeting of our constituents who care about fishing, whether they run a bed and breakfast. We had success 3 years ago, and we knew about. And this is a very critical meeting. It is in Anchorage. It's kind of hard to tell. It's long. And we'll try and keep you posted on what that's going to be. But it's fish is what we've put on here. We got a presentation of it from Patty Sullivan a couple weeks. The only way that there's going to be more for anybody is that we restore our runs, which and that has been proven to work in other areas, and we need to. I invite your participation and that of your constituents because it's next time.
Senator Kwaki?
Yes, thank you all. Finally, there is some sense of security in knowing that you're 100%. Having said that, on the bright side, I'm sure that this is going to be the Alaskan name because they would like to incorporate in. And they've met with the mayor, they've met with the Willow Trail Committee. Mine operation on the west side of Hatcher Pass, the shore closed down 50, 60 years ago. They've done a lot of work over the last couple of years. I've encouraged them to engage in the community. I think their community council meeting on the 13th of February. I just got this today, that they're going to hold a community open house that folks' questions can be answered. I've heard stories about the big open. Clearly, those things were all inaccurate. So I'm encourage anyone who has any. I believe the Willow Community Organization is going to be asked to put out an email. Physical plan itself is going to be in the neighborhood of $6 million. And I know my RSAs and FSAs and the borough assessor.
Thank you, Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also want to thank Assemblymember Quirk. We discussed this as an assembly in a couple of work sessions, just kind of briefly, and I'm kind of intrigued by the 4-year term piece as far as being, you know, learning the job and that kind of thing. It was a little different. So, but thank you. I also want to thank Attorney Spiropoulos for, would also encourage my peers on the assembly to get with Nick if he, because the ordinance is on the floor when it comes back to us, and thoughts that you may have in regards to the severance tax and how that would work and move that forward. We may have to do that in a couple of different sessions, continue to have the discussions and mold that to newspaper article or two and some opinion, but in regards to a proposed trapping ordinance that I intend to bring forth in the second week of February or so for introduction will be verbose, to say the least, between the Alaska Safe Trails. The ordinance as prohibit trapping on any school grounds to a setback of 100 feet from any public use trail. I expect that the assembly will want to weigh in on, I just wanted to let you know that was coming, and if you need to do any research, feel free. Anticipating with some short, I'm looking forward to the first female in the family in a very long number of.
Clerk says that severance gravel tax coming back February 21st, just for everybody.
I wanted to commend Mr. Gamble for his hard work and longtime service, and I agree with Mr. Sykes that it'd be nice to get an update of some of the things he'd been working on. Started looking at transferring the billing and coding and accounts receivable for the EMS system and sites. So just as part of that report, I would like to correct the mayor. We're not talking about global warming, but actually in our state. It may be not as visible here, but I can tell you those bush communities out there are forefront of our conscience. I'm glad we have money coming through to the community councils about how those funds actually can be used. I know at least one council is land that the ownership is unclear whether they would actually, who would maintain that, whether it's the borough or the use of the funds to make sure I thank Mayor Cottle for his efforts to maintain healthy seniors, and I think that's some issues with road completion needs, and especially in my district, because we've got a completed or paved or upgraded so that they can be used. Can we, in our limited financial setting, fund get to work and home safely and efficiently? I think that having sat to Trunk Road this morning, it needs to be fixed, and we're going to have to look
for moment of light humor with the climate change, by the way. Senator Culligan.
Wish him well. We've had really excellent service services in the administration, and I think that's quite important. I think of myself as much younger than I am, but my Carfax says that I'm now. But anyway, with that, I'm.
Another trip? Okay, Deputy Mayor Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Of February, I'll be at a board of directors meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just got word during the meeting that Palmer High School girls lost to Wasilla High School girls in basketball tonight, 44-83.
You gotta walk home twice.
Well, they're playing at Palmer High School, and hopefully the boys will do a little better here in the game that just started. Yeah, whatever, Assemblymember Culligan.
I'm not walking home.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to head up there and cheer on the Palmer High boys right after this, and hopefully we'll do a little better. But on a more serious note, I'd like to send my thoughts, prayers, and condolences. I got late word this afternoon that William Snedgarev had a heart attack today and died. He's a long time Palmer resident, graduated from Palmer High School in the late 80s and lived over in the Butte. And he was a strong member of our 4-H family, and we love the family, and our thoughts and prayers go out to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Kwaki, I do want to thank you, too, for bringing the term limits. It's a very tough issue, and if somebody wanted to refer that to the ballot, that's another option. We could do that after a little bit more research. The tougher one, I guess, will be whether the Assembly wants to refer to the ballot in October, whether you want to change the status of the Mattsu Borough legally, if you want to be second class or move up and assume police powers or something like that. That'd be another thing that somebody could debate. I was very interested in the mill rates that Mr. Moosey provided us tonight. I don't recall back, I wasn't in Alaska in 1966, but the mill rate went to 22. So does anybody remember 1966 and what was going on? And then in 1983, it went to 4.9. And then in 1994, 1995, it was back up to 15.780. But the real clincher here is 2009, 2017. They went from 10.326 to 9.984. It's consistently been the 10. I was elected in 2009. I just wanted the record to reflect that. And I'll take full credit for all of that. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a very interesting look at the mill rates, how they bounce around a little bit based on probably history and some of it we don't recall. I do want to thank Mr. Gamble personally. He's just been a great employee. I was actually very depressed when I first heard that he had resigned, because he just is the type of person I have total confidence in, but I wish him well. I did telephone him, and I'm sure we'll find a great replacement, and Mr. Moosey will be working on that and present something to the, you know, for a good hire. I don't have anything else right now. Just thank everybody. Great meeting tonight, we'll be off. I'm going down to the Tustamina 200 this weekend, but I'm not driving a sled dog. I didn't do very well in the Copper Basin 300. I felt ill and pulled out of the race up at Myers Roadhouse after 107 miles out of 300. So that's kind of a wussy race, isn't it? Anyway, but it was more me than anything. It was the dogs were getting better, and I just couldn't shake the flu. And but I really enjoyed being around the Young Mushers. They're a great group. Anything else by anybody? Otherwise, we're going to adjourn this meeting at, what is it, 7:50 p.m. We're adjourned.